This is DJ Shadow. Show number 2, Beats 1. Last time I talked about the various inspiration that led to the new album called The Mountain Will Fall, and a lot of the influences that went into the production side, the beat making side. I thought it might be interesting on this show to talk a little bit about the DJ component of what I do. One of the most frequently asked questions that I get in interviews is, do you consider yourself a DJ first or a producer first? And I usually say that it all starts with being a DJ. Being a DJ is what made me want to make beats.
You say, one for the trouble, two for the time. Come on, girls, let's rock that.
However, there's many different types of DJs. Depending on who you're talking to, if you say DJ, it might evoke like a radio disc jockey, just a radio personality that just plays the records on the playlist. They might think of a wedding DJ, you know, a DJ for hire, or a DJ in a club. Ironically, I've never really been any of those. Yet hip-hop DJing is what has always informed not only the music that I listen to and look for, but the music that I make. The same way drummers and guitarists often imitated their heroes to get their chops up and figure out, you know, their own style, so it was with DJs. I mean, from hearing scratching on records, DJs like Grandmaster Flash, this was something that spoke to me, something I wanted to try out for myself. Unfortunately, though, I couldn't afford real equipment. I learned how to scratch on a consumer model Sears turntable, belt drive turntable. Definitely not your prime equipment to be learning how to scratch on, but I didn't know any better, and besides, it was all I had access to. But it also informed my style, because the belt drive wasn't strong enough to pick up the speed once I released it. I had to kind of give an extra push after any kind of scratch, and I also couldn't do anything super complicated before releasing, otherwise it would kind of drag when I pushed it. So it's just one of the little idiosyncrasies about my style of learning how to scratch. I think a popular misperception about DJs is that they all want to be on stage in front of an adoring crowd. They want to be some kind of rock star messiah. That certainly wasn't the case for me. In fact, it's something that nearly held me back from getting into music. I didn't want to have to be on stage. I didn't want to have to be a performer in that way that we think of, you know, rock gods or guitar heroes or things like that. Baby D, you are the best. Cut this beat 'cause it is so fresh. And in fact, I was strictly a bedroom DJ for years and years. But again, my circumstances and the fact that I was able to woodshed is another thing that helped inform the work I was doing as a DJ. So I practiced and made my little mixes at home and kept listening to the radio to mix DJs that I thought were, you know, playing interesting music and trying interesting things. In my hometown of Davis, California, there was only one DJ playing hip hop. And in fact, he was the first person to ever play any of my mixes on the radio. The year was 1988.
Come on, right now, I got Music in the Mix by Josh Davis, and not me. Yes, that's right. Hottest Davis mixer around next to me. Well, now he's good. He's better than me. I'm not going to even lie. Anyway, he's only 16 years old, and he's coming at you with another fresh mix, so stay tuned. Mm-hmm.
Although there was probably only a handful of listeners, it was a huge confidence boost for me, especially to hear somebody that I looked up to say that I had something to offer. That same DJ and mentor, whose name is Oris Washington, was the first person to put me in front of a live audience for a scratch exhibition, and was also the first person to put me in front of real DJ equipment, Techniques 1200s, the DJ standard. By 1991, I was doing mixes on the radio again, this time for a much bigger audience.
We got the Shadow coming up in the mix next. He's going to go deep into the hip-hop underground.
The best thing about being able to broadcast complicated pre-made mixes was that it was such a controlled way to demonstrate your aesthetic. But it was still worlds away from performing live on a stage. I was still practicing at home, still occasionally being called into the studio to do scratching or to man the turntables during a freestyle MC battle. But it wasn't until the first time I went overseas in 1993 that I actually toured and played in clubs for the first time. I toured Germany with James Lavelle from Moax, and although I had a few singles out, for all intents and purposes, nobody really knew who I was, which was fine with me. I felt like I had the freedom to push my own agenda as a DJ and play unusual things, records that I felt had been forgotten or overlooked, whether it was hip-hop records or funk 45s or even emerging genres like drum and bass. During those early days of touring Europe, sometimes the gigs were great, sometimes they were terrible. But it gave me a chance to really learn from a lot of different friends that were on the road at that time and part of the Moax family. People like Charlie Dark from Attica Blues, DJ Crush, Peche. We all had our different styles and different tools that we brought to the table. And of course, our different favorite records. Through most of the 90s, I had the freedom to be able to just kind of evolve at my own pace. But of course, after the release of my first album in 1996, things changed quickly, and I was thrust into a different sphere of opportunity. Suddenly, I was being asked to play festivals. And at that time in the 90s, if you went to a festival in Europe, there were very few DJs playing main stages, main outdoor stages. If there were any DJs at all, they were playing dance tins. But for whatever reason, I was being afforded the opportunity to make a statement on the big stages. And in some ways, this was my biggest fear come to life. I now had to perform in front of thousands of people who were staring at me. And thank goodness this was the era of turntablism, because my way of compensating was scratching a whole lot. This is a live recording in Milan, Italy from 1999. During most of the 90s, I limited myself to playing only my songs that I felt worked in a club or DJ environment. I hadn't yet figured out how to represent the full breadth of my catalog live. So, in the meantime, more scratching. We'll be right back. 1999 ended up being kind of a pivotal year in my DJ career for a lot of different reasons. Not only was I touring around doing my own DJ sets, but I was also involved in two other projects that kept me on the road and kept me flexing my creative muscles on stages. For one thing, the Quantum Crew was doing live shows, and I was one of the DJs. I still think fondly back to the era in 99-2000 when Blackalicious, Lyricsborn, Latif, myself, we would do these shows across the UK. And in particular, Manchester University, I have this memory of the audience just being crazy and trying to rush the dressing room Hard Day's Night style. It was really the only time I've ever been involved in anything like that where there was just such hysteria and we just seemed to do no wrong on stage. Being a part of those shows was some of the most rewarding experiences I've ever had as a DJ. I wasn't just, you know, on my own on stage. I was a part of a team, part of a crew, part of a functioning unit. And we were all leaning into the performance together.
DJ Shadow on the wheels of steel. Chief XL on the wheels of steel. Why don't you let that go, baby?
I say what?
Now tell me what's your name?
My name's Latif. Tell me what's your name?
My name is Lyricsborn. And tell me what's his name?
That's DJ Shadow.
What's my name?
What's my name?
What's my name?
What's my name?
Tell me what's your name?
My name's Latif. Tell me
what's your name? My name is Lyricsborn. And tell me what's his name?
That's DJ Shadow. What's my name?
What's my name?
The black and Puerto Rican lyric,
yeah,
kicking,
speaking the truth.
I'll make y'all giggle like a tickle or a nipple tweaker. Plus, I freak a stop from here to Mogadishu, here to Mozambique. From here to Mozayan, or the reef run at my peak. I shine and flowing like a creek, a lava spicy like paprika.
Yeah.
Neither here nor there, fully charging up the air. Them heavy sounds, they're getting thicker like the atmosphere. You gotta get up on it, we got what you want.
The
beats be better like the factory won't. Suckers keep biting like a gang of piranhas.
Yeah.
If you're thinking they're stronger,
huh?
My set couldn't be any wronger. We roll deep, flow like the island of Tonga. Don't even really need to rock the mic any longer. So I stop, pass the mic like a pass on a pork top, but it don't quit.
I say that to say this, you can't oppose
this. I say that to say this,
cause if the clothes
fit. I say that to say this,
you're a hostess.
I say that to say this,
oh, you're so sensitive. All I said was simple sentences. The premises was left as if your messages was venomous.
They are, though.
Yes, it's just my penmanship and how it moves you.
For so.
Suckers steer clear of me like feminists do.
For sure.
Here's a little punchline for those of you that love rhymes with those.
Get them.
Hear it one time, then you're
finished with them.
Plus, they give you that nasty tangy. Check us out. Got free rhymes for Griots and Fiots and Klingons and Weetons and Krayons and Currycons and Reeboks and Keegons and Cleemons. Peons and Beons and Felines. You're like the FBI, out on some espionage, asking questions, but my head's beyond that. Be openly honest, y'all even write y'all own rhymes.
Oh, I doubt it,
these
four,
tell you,
one,
I make a,
song.
You take it,
home.
You think about it. Now, mama speak with every opportunity. You're using all the illuminating, I'll be out the obvious.
Buffoonery,
defy the allegations and the
boomery.
Be out the lover in the average of some ammo with it, you don't quit. I say that to say this,
so with a closed fist.
I say that to say this, you can't oppose this.
I say that to say this, you're just bullshitting.
Hey. All right, come on.
Of course, the other big step out DJ set that year was Brain Freeze, which I did with my pal Cut Chemist.
Hey, martial arts fan, are you ready to get your guts kicked out?
Little could we have known then what it would turn into. Through the years, it's just kind of become something that was much bigger than it was at the time.
Outside my window, I can hear a radio.